four countries for us to look out, and they've picked out several pieces of scripture for us to look at. So you get four sermons today, which is like bonus Sunday, looking at what the Bible says about this, and four countries to think about and pray about. The first little bit of scripture that we'll open with comes from Acts 9. You'll be familiar with it, some of you. But Saul, who would later become Paul the Apostle, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Jesus takes this idea of the body of Christ very seriously. Saul, you're persecuting me. And we are gathered here as people that love Jesus. And that means when we hear these stories and think of those that are enduring things that are so beyond what our experience is, that's Jesus. And it occurred to me there's another thing. If Jesus takes the body, his body, that seriously, we don't need a bright shining light and a voice. We have the Holy Spirit. And that we would be people that hear Jesus say, because sometimes maybe I need to hear Jesus say, "Chris, Chris, why don't you like me? Chris, why are you struggling to forgive me? Chris, or whomever, why don't you trust me? Chris, is this mutual submission thing like, it's me, you know that, right?" So not only how we think internationally, but how we think locally is motivated by our love for Jesus and our understanding of his body. Just one more quick scripture. Hebrews 13, starting at verse 1. "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." The first country that we'll take a peek at is India, that we think of as a relatively modern country and an emerging economy. It's ranked, and you'll see a couple pieces of paper out. They're the same paper, just in two places, so you can look at those. This ranking from the ministries that work with the persecuted the church of the most difficult and dangerous places to be a Christian. India is ranked number 10 in the world right now. The leader of a radical Hindu group in India has declared that by the end of 2021, they want to remove Christianity from India. Churches are regularly monitored and disrupted. Police officers rarely intervene when Christians are persecuted. Some groups are working to make Indian rule exclusively Hindu, and in some areas, it's illegal to convert to Christianity. Those who do convert are often attacked or even killed. Sharing the gospel has dangerous consequences. Yet God is strengthening his church, and many believers want to share Christ. Here's a quote from somebody in India. It says, "Don't be afraid when persecution comes to you. It's part of the Christian life. It's a privilege to be persecuted." From Bahai in India. There's a couple things to pray for their pastors to stay focused on Christ and to stand firm, and for the Christians sharing the gospel where it's illegal. And we're just going to pause and pray for that right now. Heavenly Father, we lift up our brothers, our sisters, our Jesus, whose body is represented in India. We pray for that perseverance. We know you've done a great work amongst the low caste deletes and stuff, and Dalits, or however you pronounce it, many of them have turned to you, Jesus. We just pray that as your enemy rages against that work and rages against the freedom that many have found, Lord God, that they will stand firm, that your enemy will be foiled, and that his attempts will only grow your church. We pray that these pastors will stand firm and will continue to be bold in proclaiming the truth. And those that are sharing the gospel and those that are hearing the voice of Jesus where it's so difficult for them, that they will prevail. Lord God, we pray for many victories in India. And we can't help but pray for relief as well. We know you're accomplishing your will through this, but we pray that you would give peace, comfort, even joy to these dear ones, our brothers, our sisters, your body. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I'll just start out with some facts about Afghanistan. So Afghanistan is ranked number two most dangerous country to be a Christian in 2019 on the World Watch list. And just some more facts about Afghanistan before I go into the verses. Officially, there are no Christians in Afghanistan. Officially, there are no Christians in Afghanistan. Believers are in hiding, and although there are small groups of Christians, there is no organized church. Christians are intensely cautious about who they share their faith with. If a believer is found out, they could be excluded from the community, or admitted to a mental institution, or even killed for their faith. So, in Acts 16, we're just going to focus on Acts 16 in light of that a little bit, focusing on verse 25 in Acts 16. So, the theme of verse 25 is that following Jesus isn't dependent on our circumstances. So, verse 25 right now. So this is when Paul was in prison. Paul and Silas were in prison. So around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. So they were singing and praying to God in amidst their struggle. So that's pretty impressive. It's something that we always should be striving for as we grow more mature in Christ. But Paul modeled very well throughout the entire scripture that his circumstances had nothing to do with how well he was able to follow Jesus. If you keep in mind what Afghani people are going through right now. He gave absolutely everything that the world had to offer in order to love and serve God. Paul's single-mindedness over time brought about in him a peace in Christ, which helped him stay positive regardless of his circumstances. And we ought to strive for that same single-mindedness. It's just a couple of things on that I wanted to kind of... I was just thinking about it, and I thought, how does that kind of apply to us? Not that it's about us, but I think what they're going through can impact our lives and how we form our perspective and be a little bit more thankful for our circumstances. So in contrast, we have it so easy here, and we should strive to make the most out of every opportunity in light of that. So in Ephesians 5, verse 16, it says, "Make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days." Imagine how hard it is for them to make use of out of every opportunity that they have. And again, Colossians 4:5 says, "Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most out of every opportunity." So I think it's so important that we try to make the most out of every opportunity, and we have the freedom to. We're not being persecuted here. We're so blessed, to live here. And in light of their struggle, I mean. It's just kind of a reminder, and I just thought I'd say that. And then here's some notes or some quotes from a man named Saif from Afghanistan. So This is what he said. I brought the New Testament into my house, and I began to read the Bible, and my daughter started to walk. Seif heard the gospel on a Christian radio broadcast, and he came to faith later on after his daughter was healed. Seif and his wife face daily pressure and live as secret believers. So that's encouraging there. But again, not easy for the Afghani people to do much of anything. And another verse that came to mind was Hebrews 10:25, and that is, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So again, just imagine how hard it would be for those Afghani people to kind of get together. I'm sure they do. They says there's about 1,000 Christians in Afghanistan, a few thousand Christians in Afghanistan, amidst 36.4 million people. So there's not many of them, but I'm sure they have a way to get together. But it's still, you know, it's still very hard for them to get together. But we have the freedom to get together whenever we want to encourage each other. Yeah, I'll just end by praying for these, for Afghanistan and for the few believers that are there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these believers in Afghanistan. I thank you for their perseverance. God, I pray for their unity, I pray that you would give them courage and strength to live out a life which would be honoring to you despite their difficulties, God. And you know how to do that because you're sovereign and you've got everything worked out, God. So I thank you for that. But God, strengthen them and pray that you would just comfort them in their isolation right now and really let the peace of the Holy Spirit fill their hearts and... I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Algeria is ranked 22nd most dangerous country to be a Christian on the 2019 World Watch list. So I'm just going to share a little bit of facts and information about Algeria and the Christians there. And then Mike is going to share the scripture that we're going to look at. And the theme is around standing side by side with persecuted believers and persevering. So in 2018, violence increased dramatically in Algeria, and a dozen churches were closed. Algeria rose 20 ranks on the 2019 World Watch list. The main source of violence comes from relatives of Christian converts. It's even more dangerous for Christians in rural and conservative Islamic parts of the country. Though the influence of Islamic extremism is increasing, there is an openness to the gospel, and people are coming to faith in Jesus. Now, the population of Algeria is 42 million, as you can see up there, and 125,000 Christians live there. There's a quote here by a Christian from a Muslim background there, Ibrahim. And he says, I couldn't renounce Jesus. I couldn't renounce my faith. I said to my children, I love you, I love you, but I love Jesus more.
So the verse we were given for this is Hebrews 10:32-39. And So this passage shows that while we are not all being persecuted all the time, we're called to stand with those that are being persecuted at this moment. We're called to persevere through each situation so that our faith is made stronger.
So Hebrews 10, 32-39, if you have your Bible.
But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath in great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. What is on my heart today to share is, the very fact that we often have our own ideas and natural inclination to want to fix scenarios, problems that we see around. And that's all good. That's natural. We want to see the best for our brothers and sisters and everything. But this is a spiritual war that we're in, and weapons of the flesh cannot prosper in this situation. That's not the answer. We need to be diligent to know that we are hearing from the Father in everything pertaining to the way that we connect with the body, the way that we serve the body. So we can create all of our programs. We can have our times of prayer and all of our intentions put out there, but unless the Lord be the builder of the house, those that labor in vain. There are many devices of a man's heart, but nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And the first one was Psalm 127:1. The second one I actually didn't think to say today, so it just kind of came. I don't know where that is. You can find it. John 15:5. Says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, and without me ye can do nothing. So my question to you right now is, what is the Father saying to you? What is your part in all of this, and how are you to really connect to this situation? We're over here, they're over there, but from a heavenly perspective, we are one. We're connected. We are affected by them. We've heard this said, but I have this impression that we don't really understand the weight of that. We don't understand the way that we're one and how we're being affected in that way. I've heard it said before that those often who come from those places, the persecuted countries, when they come here, they're shocked by the sedation that exists, just by our ease and comfort. So what I have on my heart to share is more about how the enemy stands at the door to try and bring condemnation and distract us from our purpose. We want to make sure that we think from the right place in all of this, and to know who you are, to know the people you're called to, that is the most practical application for anything and any endeavor that you want to engage in your life, including these affairs. And 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. You know, it's easy to compare ourselves to people that are going through all of that and say, man, like, I'm just pathetic. I can't even do, you know, you fill in the blanks. But, you know, God appointed us for this time and season right now. He wanted you here and now. I don't know what you're called to. I don't know where we're going, all of us individually. I mean, no man knows where the Spirit goes or where it comes from, right? And this is the life of the Spirit. It's kind of interesting, but about, I guess it was last week, out of the blue. I haven't been in this book for a long time. I just kind of dip in once in a while, but I happened to dip in on November 15th, and I found it quite interesting how it ties into this. I hope you hear my heart on this.
He's reading from
Oswald Chambers.
Yeah.
If you don't recognize it, November 15th. Lord, what shall this man do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's what he says. John 21:21-22. One of our severest lessons comes from the stubborn refusal to see that we must not interfere in the other people's lives. It takes a long time to realize the danger of being an amateur providence, that is, interfering with God's order of others. You see a certain person suffering and you say, he shall not suffer, and I will see that he does not. And you put your hand straight in front of God's permissive will to prevent it, and God says, what is that to thee? If there is stagnation spiritually, never allow it to go on, but get into God's presence and find out the reason for it. Possibly you will find it is because you have been interfering in the lives of others, proposing things that you had no right to propose, advising when you had no right to advise, and when you have to give advice to another, God will advise through you with the direct understanding of his Spirit. Your part is to be so rightly related to God that his discernment comes through you all the time for the blessing of another soul. Most of us live on the borders of consciousness, consciously serving, consciously devoted to God, and all this is immature. It is not the real life yet. Mature stage is the life of a child, which is never conscious. We become so abandoned to God that the consciousness of being used never enters in. When we're in conscious, when we are consciously being used as broken bread and poured out wine, there is another stage to be reached, where all consciousness of ourselves and of what God is doing through us is eliminated. A saint is never consciously a saint. A saint is consciously dependent upon God.
Not forgetting the prayer part, for sure. I was just going to share a little bit from my personal perspective. When Chris had given us this information in the scripture and asked us to share, what came to mind for me is, like, my heart goes out for our brothers and sisters in Christ, the ones that we can't tangibly be with and hold their hand and stand beside them and fight along with them or stand along with them or hide and pray. So what we can do is pray with the Lord. And when I read that scripture in Hebrews 10:32-39, and put it in the perspective of this blessed country in North America that we live, it gives us, I feel like, a bit of a tool for perseverance, where it says, think on the Lord and what he's already done for you. And do his will that he's calling you to right now. So it's the past, the present, and hold in the hope of the promises that he has set before us. So that's kind of like summarizing the lines 32 to 39 for myself. It's like, that's what I hold on to in persevering. And yes, we live in a blessed country, a country that was built upon a lot of labor. If we look at our forefathers before us, there was a lot of hard work and a lot of hard labor in building this country. And I don't undermine that at all. I am so thankful and grateful for what our fathers have done and our families have done for us to take us to where we are now. And yet it almost feels like, for me, a frog in boiling water. It's so comfortable. How is my faith tested? How am I tried? What are my tribulations? And when I make my list, right, and I take them to God in the morning, it feels trivial, and I don't want to undermine what we're experiencing, what's going on, but it helps keep me awake and aware that we are going through things just like them, and keeping our faith strong is the challenge. That is the challenge, because it can be easy to get into our own labor and self-sufficiency. Too easy. Oh my gosh, I wave in and out of that so much, where it's like I realize, oh, I didn't check in with you today other than this morning, or maybe it's been a couple days, Lord, since we've had a chat. Oh dear, that's kind of scary for me. Where it's, when I think about the people here in Algeria who are praying for their loaf of bread to come, because it's terrifying to leave their home and maybe go and get some, right? They're connecting and walking with their Lord on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment, second-by-second basis. And yet I can walk out my door and do my job and connect with my friends, and he's back here going, hey, hello. And I heard in my heart, that I felt like it was like the Holy Spirit. There's a song I love to sing, this Christian group, Ren Collective. And one line I woke up to just repeating in my head, and it really woke me up and grabbed my heart like this. And it was, I am desperate for a desperate heart. And I went, whoa. Am I desperate? He's desperate for me. He's desperate for us. He's desperate for the relationship because of his love. So that's why, and I think that's what we need to remember, is our relationship with him. Mike was, we were chatting earlier, and like, yeah, we're one body. When our finger gets cut, oh, our whole body feels it. And that's what we need to remember with the fellowship of Christ. When Algeria and all these other Christians get injured from the body, it hurts us in a way that's deeper, probably more spiritually than I think we realize. And so let's pray.
All right.
Father God, we just thank you for the privilege to stand with our brothers and sisters today. Those who are in situations that we can't even imagine, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would provide from heavenly places perspective for them during this time, Lord. Give them the fortitude and the strength of Christ, because all of the resources of heaven are there and available for these. Help us to be diligent, Lord. Wake us up in the night whenever, Lord, you want us to be stirred. Burn and impress upon our hearts, Lord God, the need that these people have, and bring us, Lord God, into that place of unity with them in mind, heart, and soul. Lord, you have prayed on your last night before you were crucified, let them be one even as we are one. And that was the pinnacle of your time here, Lord God. And I just want to pray right now that you would bring supernatural provision for them. Let your angels take charge, Lord God. Fill them with the peace that passes all understanding and a strength beyond human devices. In Jesus' name.
Yes, and Lord, help them to face the pressures that they might face to renounce their faith. And give them peace and wisdom to stand and draw closer together.
So I'll start off with what I was given here about Colombia. It's ranked 47th most dangerous country to be a Christian in 2019. There are 47 million Christians in Colombia out of a population of 49,500 people. There's 47 million Christians. So in fact, the large majority are Christian. Yet it's still a dangerous place to be a Christian. Colombia has a long history of organized crime and corruption. An increase in new armed groups and the growth of illegal crops has kept the level of violence high. Various criminal groups take possession of villages and place difficult restrictions on churches. Christian leaders have been abducted and some murdered as intolerance for Christianity has increased. And a little quote here from Jose. We prepare children so that they can help their communities, always reflecting the love of God in everything they do. So in Colombia, our body is numerous and strong in the majority, and yet still under attack. When I was asked to read, and I'm going to read from Timothy, a few other passages popped into mind, and then with what was spoken today already, we can take some joy from all of this. Because it reaffirms exactly what's written in Scripture. It's proof of the truth that Jesus left us. Right? It's in our worldly fears that we miss the joy, that we miss the glory, that we miss the awesomeness of our Lord. Right? If we look at what Jesus says to us, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, even though I was last, I thought, oh, good, people can just leave if they have to catch the ferry. But Matthew 10, in the thick of the red part, if you have a red letter Bible, verses 16 to 42, that's why I'm not going to read it to you now. I read it a couple times during the week. Jesus promises that this is going to happen. It's just another promise being fulfilled before our very eyes. Right? Like, it's just another promise being fulfilled before our very eyes. And he is coming, and he's going to take care of it. So in the meantime, okay, sucks to be in some of these countries, right? But at the same time, every time I'm out in my community and I step back from saying, do you know Jesus? I'm acting like I'm persecuted. I'm acting in fear of this world, right? I'm acting like I'm persecuted. I think, like Mike said, the Lord has us here now for his purpose, for his reason. And it's not to act in fear, right? He's put us in a place of strength. I can walk up to anyone I want, pretty much, thanks to the size the Lord gave me, and I can say whatever I want. And so why not? Do you know Jesus? Do you know what he did for you? Right? Those are some of the thoughts I had. I'm going to read from Timothy now. I encourage you, Matthew 10, 16 to 42, read it. When you sit and pray the next time, open your Bible and read it before you pray, and see what the Lord has for you from it as well. And, oh, there we are. Okay. So I'm going to read from 2 Timothy 3:10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. This is Paul talking to Timothy, right, near the end of his life. And he's trying to encourage him to carry on, right? In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, and if you take this as the word of the Lord, this is you. The you is you now, right? And me, thankfully. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed, is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I've got a couple other here that I... Oh, where does my... Every time I touch it... Okay. Another passage from John. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Right. And the last passage here that I'm... I'll just look it up here. It'll be easier. And you all know this. And again, I encourage you to go and read Matthew 10. Actually, read the whole thing. From John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm going to pray for Columbia. And for everyone, because in fact, even all these countries, all these names of countries, those aren't God's countries, right? The body is the body of Christ. And the countries, again, are like of this world. They're creations of man. And they separate us on the earth, right? But Christ has brought us all together as one body. Like it was, like again, we saw it up here at the beginning. We are one body. So these lines on the planet that are, that say this is this place and this is this place and this is this place do not divide the body of Christ. They don't. We are one. So I pray for Columbia, but I pray for all of you, just like I pray for every Christian. And every time we pray, we need to have that mindset. It's not here or there. And again, I just want to encourage everyone, don't act like you're persecuted, even though you are. Because we are. We're persecuted here in different ways, right? It's not gun to the head. It's not, you know, people aren't kicking down my door and you're a Christian, you're... Right? But we get persecuted other ways, and like Alicia said, sucked away from the Lord, right? Sucked away from the Lord, forget to pray, or don't include going to him and asking, which way do you want me to go today? Instead of, I gotta go, see ya, I'll talk to you later when I get home, right? Anyways, Lord, as we come together here on Gabriola Island, an extension of your body throughout the creation that is all yours, and all the people in it that are yours are of one body. We just ask for strength. We ask for boldness. We ask for courage. And we ask for the wisdom that can only come from your word, from the example that was your life. And we just humbly come before you and ask you to keep us focused on the path you have laid out for us, not to be distracted, not to be waylaid, to take joy in knowing that the words you spoke, even of persecution, are true, as is everything else you spoke. We thank you for it. It is a huge gift. It is an even bigger responsibility to carry it. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come into your presence, to remain in your presence, and to rely on your presence in our lives. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, and our brother. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Everybody's had something to chew on there, and yeah, we should save that recording. I think I want to listen to it again. The Matthew passage, that is really good homework. I just looked it up, and yeah, we got to do that. Some of you will remember Greg Musselman. He's been here before, and he works pretty much full-time with Huntley Street, but also still works with Voice of the Martyrs Canada. He did a stint with Open Doors, which also works with the persecuted church. He's back working with Voice of the Martyrs. Our church supports monthly VOMC. Voice of the Martyrs does advocacy. They do awareness to the churches. They have various funds, like a place called the Stephen Center, where families that have been torn apart by persecution can go. Training for pastors. Families of Martyrs Fund, where people that have been thrown in prison or killed, their spouses and children can get support. Very often people are driven away from their sources of income. Voice of the Martyrs works to support those believers. They hand out hampers with things like cooking oil and rice and basics that are just such a boon. They've been into places like Mosul back a couple of years ago when it was right in the heat of things and people were refugees there. So that is one of the ways we locally can stand with our brothers and sisters. There's lots of information on there. If you start typing VOMC into Google, it'll take you there. Or VOMC.ca if you want to get more particular, but I just start typing what I want and I go there, right? It's not, you don't have to remember much these days. Lots of background information. We've got the maps up just showing some of the real hot spots in the world where it's just so many points that overlap from what everybody shared today that really interlock. So we warned you a week or two ago that we were going to pass the hat today. We've kind of gotten away from that. Our regular donations for sustaining the church are in the big can back there. Everything that goes in these bags this morning will go to channeled through the work of Voice of the Martyrs. And you can at any time, of course, designate. You can catch up. You can write it on your donation or catch up with the treasurer later. If you, like me, never carry cash, but we're going to symbolically participate in that right now. And are you going to sing to us while we do that? Oh, I love that. I'm going to get a couple of folk to help me.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, test, 1, 2, 3. This song is called I Will Sing by Rich Mullins. I always tend to just fall onto that. I was looking last night trying to figure it out, and this one randomly came to me, and I thought, wow, how perfect that this is. But I will, you guys go ahead, and I will sing. I will sing for the meek, for those who pray with their very lives for peace, Though they're in chains for higher call, their mourning will change into laughter when the nations fall. In spirit poor and mercy rich, they hunger for your righteousness. Their hearts refined in the purity. Lord, let me shine for them. Lord, let me sing. Lord, let me shine for them. Lord, let me sing.
Let's pray once again. Father, we've taken up this collection. Lord, we pray that bits of paper will become bits of your heart, that this symbolic giving will unite us with these suffering ones, and that you will multiply these gifts for the comfort, for the joy, for the reassurance of our dear ones, and for the glory of your name, Jesus. And only through your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you all who read and shared on those particular countries. That was very encouraging. And I pray that we continue to live thinking about our persecuted family that are all over the world. And